Wow, I'm going to talk about worship today. I'm going to help us to understand what it means to worship a king. That's our theme this year, to talk about the kingdom come, and the kingdom has a king, don't we know? And his name is Jesus. Oh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he taught us to pray to the Father and to say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How does God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? It's through us. And we're learning about our witness, which is outward, and our worship, which is upward. And that's what we're going to talk about today. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." And I'll tell you, the heart that is worshiped God has been in the place, that intimate space of worship with God has a fragrance. It's not the stench of the world. It's not the leftovers of life and all the stuff that weighs us down, but it's the beautiful fragrance of Jesus that we enter the workplace, we enter the neighborhood, we live in our homes, we interact with people, and we diffuse the fragrance of Christ into our world. So that's what we want to know how to do and how to do it better. Amen? Just reminding you that the first week of August, get it in your diary, the 2nd to the 4th, is our worship conference called Upward. It's all about how to do this better. You know, we're on a journey, aren't we? We are on a journey of faith, and as believers, we always want to go forward in God. We want to go, we talk about going to the next level, but when I think about worship, I think we actually need to go deeper. It's about going deeper. It's not necessarily going another thing and another thing and just adding to our knowledge, because I think we already know enough to worship God well. But it's about going deeper, and it's being consistent and growing. I'm on that journey. How about you? And you know what? I have faith in you. I have faith in God, but I have faith in you because you are a good-hearted people. This is a good church. This is a church with hearts that are willing and go after God. And I just believe we want to know how to do this better. We want to know how to go deeper. We want to be more engaged. How can we worship this King? How do we do that? Well, we're going to get on that journey. Psalm 27, verse 4 says this, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." And I love this. "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me." And my heart responds, "Lord, I am coming." Can we come to God in prayer right now? Lord, you say, come and talk to me. Come and commune with me. Come and learn from me. And Lord, our hearts say, we are coming. Lord, we enter into this holy space of being under your word and being under the influence of your Holy Spirit. And we come to you and we open our hearts and we open our minds. Lord, I pray that you will just in these moments free us from distractions, all the things that might be on our minds, the concerns, the worries, the fears, the doubts we have, the questions, maybe the awkwardness and uncomfortableness we feel right now. Lord, we just settle down. We rest. We come to a place of hearing God. And we just ask, as we come to talk with you, you will talk with us. You'll speak to us. You tell us the things that our hearts need to hear. We ask you for this now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So where's Jack? Let's just get that out of the way. Where's Jack? Where'd he go this time? He's out in Alice Springs. I told him to bring a coat, but I found out it's actually quite warm and nice there. And he's at the Desert Life Church, which is an ACC church, covered by Hope. What's it called? Hope Center in Brisbane, which is Pastor Wayne Elkhorn, our national president, pastors that church. And they cover that church. Very much involved in the indigenous community space as well. And so they're having their final missions week, and Jack gets to go and, you know, hopefully clear the bases and hit a home run. So we'll be praying for him this morning and also this afternoon. has something that's like a discipleship group, a couple sessions with leaders. So I think it's going to be great. Then he'll fly home tomorrow. So we're going to talk about worship and how do we worship this king. So I started off with 3 points. And it's just like when I buy groceries and plan to cook, you know, we're going to have, this is the main dish, and then we'll have vegetables. Oh, no, we'll have two. No, we'll have three. Then we'll have four. Okay, then we have bread. Okay, we'll have to have white bread and the brown bread, and then we'll have dessert, and we'll have, you know, it goes like that. And I kind of like that, and I just know that. So I started with three. This morning I cut it to two, and now it's one. Going to have a one-point sermon. How about that? See if we can do that. So we're going to talk about worship, and we want to get right down to the basic of it. Before we talk about what we do, how we do it, we need to get to what it is and why we do it. Okay? Let's just start really, really basic. Let's begin again even, you know? And maybe some of you are new to faith, and this is all new to you, so you appreciate that. Or maybe it's just you need a refreshing in your spirit, and today God's going to do something in there. Well, there are some very key passages in the New Testament, and the Bible is filled with truth on this topic of worship, and I'll never be able to exhaust it, but I'm going to just start in and see how far we get. So you know well the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus discourse on worship in John chapter 4 and the many things that happened. That is such an amazing story that Jesus revealed to her, this Samaritan woman, that he's the Messiah. But he talked about a lot of other things, and she brought up the subject of worship because the Samaritans were this blended race of people back from Babylonian days and invading forces, and now they were a mixed people, and their religion was a mixed religion of Judaism and some other things. And so they had set up their own place of worship, and so she brings up the topic, and she says, we worship here on this mountain, but you Jews say only Jerusalem. That's the only place that you can worship. And so, you know, she just brought in some conflicting information, just sort of brought in a topic that was a little bit controversial there. But Jesus didn't go there. He switched the narrative. He didn't talk about the place. He didn't talk about the practice. He talked about the heart and the matter of the heart. He said in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 4, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So how do you define worship? Is it a particular practice? Is it a place? It might be this thing we do on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We call it a worship service. And there's various elements in a worship service, like what I'm doing right now, bringing the Word of God. And we were just worshiping in song. And we worship with our gifts and our offerings. And we do various things that we call worship. But is that worship? Well, that's not a trick question, okay? I'm not going to act on that. And you will find that there's such a variation of styles and traditions, and it's right across the globe, if not just right across our town. You know, and so much of it is cultural. And there's not really right or wrong in the sense of the things that we do. Have you ever, maybe you come from a liturgical background and you have come from a different tradition. I'm just the opposite. You know, I got saved in a Jesus People coffee house, so I knew nothing about kneeling in prayer and standing here and repeating after this and saying that thing. And if you've ever been like me and gone into a traditional type liturgical service, you don't know when you're supposed to stand up or sit down or kneel or say the thing. And, you know, you feel so awkward, don't you? That's a worship tradition. It's not wrong. It's just different. And what we do is not wrong, it's just different. And so we're not talking about what we do, it's why we do and where it comes from, okay? So we'll see different styles and traditions, and we will see outward expressions, obviously, but it has to come from something that's inside. And however it's exhibited on the outside, well, that's a difference, and that's not really the point, not at all. So God wants the heart of the worshiper, the Spirit and the truth. We sang that song, Worthy of It All, and I asked specifically for that because it uses that word worthy. And the word worship is actually an ongoing evolving of the word worth-ship. In older English, it was worth-ship. And worth-ship talks about worthiness. So when we worship, we're talking about the worthiness of God to be praised. And worthiness is the value you place on someone or something. How is it with you and God? How much value? How much, you know, obviously we say yes, we have sort of like an official reaction that God is worthy of it all, but then there's the actual functional how it happens, you know? How much does he mean to me? You know, no guilt trip here, no condemnation here. It's just we need to dig deeper. We need to find a deeper well of worship that goes beyond just something that we do on a Sunday, that becomes something deep in our heart. It's who we are as worshipers. God is worthy of it all. What is he worthy of? If I had the minutes, I would talk and ask you, tell me, what is he worthy of? But I'll just give you a few ideas. All glory, all honor, the greatest of respect, homage and adoration, devotion, love, our heart's greatest desire, our best, our first. He is worthy. He is worthy of it all. I love the words of the song by Matt Redman called The Heart of Worship, and I want to take the time just to read it because I think it gets to the matter and expresses it maybe more than my many words. He said, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. So I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. So it begins with the heart, and it's all about Jesus. And so before we ever go into our practices, which we'll not get there today, I could tell you, that's another message. And I think I've got all year, every opportunity I get to speak, that's going to be the topic, so you'll know what to expect, won't you? Proverbs 4:23 talks about it all begins with the heart. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Do you notice the strength of those words, keep and guard with vigilance? It's like, this is really important. Like, this matters. It's not like, oh, pay attention to what's in your heart. No, guard it like a soldier. Like, it is so important how the condition of my heart, because out of it flows all of life. All of life, all that you are. And to the born-again believer, out of your heart flows that worship. And may it be unadulterated. Let it be pure. Let it be on fire and full of wonderful, wonderful things that you bring to the Lord. So if your heart is not in it, you could just be going through the motions. You could just be following cultural patterns and things that you observe, and they don't really have any life because your heart's not in it. That's no condemnation now, but that's the truth, because I have been there. No show of hands. I'll just raise my hand for us all, okay? Because we've all been there, haven't we? When our heart is not in it, we go through the motions because we're in church. And especially if you're a leader, you got to act like you're in church, right? But sometimes our hearts are just far away. Jesus quoted Isaiah to the Pharisees and the scribes who were criticizing his disciples for the things they did and the things they did not do, like washing their hands 20 times. And so he said to them this is Isaiah 29, verse 13. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. So it's easy to do. It's easy to become religious. It's easy to follow into some sort of pattern that we call worship, but the heart's not engaged. In fact, it can be far away. It could be dreaming about the grocery list. It could be doing all kinds of things like I've done in church. Shame on me, but it happens, okay? So these words are sound really strong and maybe a little bit harsh for our situation, but I find that the Word of God really does examine our motives. And so often it makes things clear to help us see it. And so if we are to worship in spirit and in truth, that means we need to be clear about what we do and why we do it. So what is worship? Let me give you some quick definitions. Worship is a free will response of the created to the Creator. Psalm 148 talks about everything that's created to praise the Lord. We worship of our own volition. That means it's self-motivated. True worship must come from a willing heart if it's supposed to be authentic. And worship involves a deliberate movement of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our emotions, and our physical strength even, towards God. A deliberate movement towards God of all that we are. Worship begins inwardly and is so often expressed outwardly. Worship is not a show. It may be seen, but we're not there for people. We're there for God. And our worship of God is directed upward towards Him, not outwards toward people. And when we give attention to the upward towards God, do you know God takes care of the inward? He takes care of us on the inside. When we focus ourselves off of ourselves, we shift our attention onto God. It seems that God can take care of those things that we really need, like our healing, like our deliverance, like our clarity, our wisdom. He leads us to repent and come back again to Him. And when we set our affections on things above, everything becomes clearer on the earth. Our worship is a deeply felt expression of love for God above all others and all other people. It's an act of surrender to His will and His purposes. Worship often involves sacrifice of something. It costs us something. That'll be a whole nother message, I know. It might cost us time. It might cost us energy. It might cost us discomfort. It might cost us a denial of self, because worship is for God. And Graham Kendrick said, he's a great worship leader, still active, almost 80 years old, going strong for God. And he said, worship is for God. He is our creator, and the worship of His creatures is both His right and His pleasure. Worship is first and foremost for His benefit and not ours. Though it is marvelous to discover that in giving Him pleasure, we ourselves enter into what can become our richest and most wholesome experience in life. And so now to my one point. I know it just seems wrong. Okay. Worship is about authority, or other words, who's in charge? Who's in charge of you? Who's in charge of me? Who's in charge of the universe? Who's in charge? So you remember the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. This is mentioned in Luke's gospel. Matthew and Mark mentions that as well. In Luke chapter 4, there are different orders in both books, but you'll remember the temptation of Jesus to turn the stones into bread and to misuse His supernatural powers for His material needs. He was challenged to throw Himself off the highest point of the temple, a test of His divinity and a test of God's goodness and willingness to protect Him. Those were temptations. But we want to go to this one that I want to focus on. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Then the devil took Him up and revealed to Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. And Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. See, the devil offered Jesus a shortcut. And what was the mission of Jesus on the earth was to die on the cross and to give his life a ransom for many. And in that, to rise from the dead and to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all authority on heaven and earth. But there was a cross in between all of that. There was a suffering in between all of that. And devil was offering him a shortcut to the mastery of the human heart and of the human race. That's a big shortcut, isn't it? But Jesus was not going to be fooled by it at all. And he offered him authority. They put up on the screen there this Greek word, exousia. It means physical and mental power, authority, mastery, and the liberty of doing as one pleases. That last one really gets me. The liberty of doing as one pleases. Wouldn't it be great if that's all we could do? But you know, that is the philosophy of the world right now. If it pleases you, if it feels good, if you want to do it, if it's your truth, do it. But this is not the way of our Master. This is not the way of Jesus. This is not how we're to live. And so he didn't take a shortcut to mastery or authority. He did not please himself. He did what pleased the Father and what the Father had shown him to do. He did not take the easy way. He took the way of humility and of suffering and the death on the cross. And we learn in Philippians 2 about how he humbled himself. He didn't think himself to be equal with God, but he took on the form of a human being, humbled himself to a criminal's death. And we pick it up at verse 9. It says, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He did not take that shortcut to mastery and authority, and yet he is exalted God, God of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But he waits for us to submit our hearts to him, to call him Master. He calls us by his Spirit. He draws us to himself. And yet it is our choice to decide, Jesus, you are my Lord. And so that's where worship begins. Worship begins in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and answering the question, who's in charge? Who's in charge of me? Am I? Am I free to do as I please, to act as I please, to do what I want with my time and my energy and my possessions and my very life, to live as I want, to be with who I want to be with, to go where I want to go? Or is Jesus Lord of my life? See, we can't have it both ways. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve ourselves and serve Jesus. We serve Jesus and he takes care of us. And that is the way of true happiness. So, who's in charge? Then the next word that we find in here in Luke chapter 4 that we need to pay attention to is the phrase where Jesus was asked of the devil, if you will worship me. That word worship me or worship is proskuneo. And there's a lot of definition up there, but it means to kiss the hand like a dog licks the hand of a master. It's to fall on the knees and to touch the ground, the forehead to the ground in reverence, kneeling prostrate and homage, to make obeisance, to express respect, to make supplication. That's what the devil asked him to do. If you'll do that, I'll give you this. But Jesus didn't take that. You know what he answered him. He said, and Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship, you shall proskuneo, the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know, when our heart is a worshipful heart, when we have that posture, these days it's hard to get down on the ground and up again for me, I'll be honest. Okay, but I can have the proskuneo in my mind and in my emotions, in my heart, yeah? And maybe in private I do the other thing so I'm not embarrassing myself. But maybe I should. Maybe I should embarrass myself. That might be good. But a submitted heart is a worshipful heart, a heart that can see themselves bow before the Master, to lay yourself at his feet. This is not a problem when the worship leader stands up and says, join me in worshiping the Lord. You go, yes, that's what I do. That's what I'm made for. That's what I love to do. That is the response of my heart to my Master. I love him. My heart is His, so I can gladly bow. I don't bow down to this world, and I don't bow down to the devil. We worship Him who bowed His head on the cross for us. We worship Him who made the way so that we can boldly come before the throne of grace. And that's where, and that is why we worship Him. His kingdom has come. His kingdom already has begun, and His rule has begun in the hearts of human beings, in the hearts of His followers, and we will carry His fragrance out into this world. So fundamental to following Jesus is to answer the question, who is in charge? Fundamental to worshiping Jesus, to worshiping God, is who's in charge? Who has the authority? And we'll have to answer this question again and again throughout our life. I can remember 50 plus years ago when I answered that question, but here I am asking it and answering again. And you know, it just, we need to take stock regularly with our life. Jesus, You are Lord. I know it, but I feel something distant. I feel, please search me, oh God. Show me where I've departed, because I'm coming back to You. I'm coming back to that place of worship. So what does it mean when we say Jesus is Lord? It means that we totally submit our lives to Him. That's 100% as much as we understand what 100% is right now. Amen? Could we give ourselves that grace? The best I know how, I'm doing it. But you know what? As we grow, as we move on to know the Lord, as things drop off of our life, as we're ready to surrender more of our life, we just do more and more. That 100% becomes a more revelation of what 100% means, doesn't it? Yeah, so we're always growing. We're always learning. We're always on this journey of faith. And we are to know Him, and we are to be known by Him. That means we let down every self-inflicted wall and barrier, or the things that life has caused us to build up some sort of defense, or fig leaves like Adam and Eve, hiding from shame, hiding from God. As we let those things down, we know Him and He knows us. Yeah. And intimacy grows, and we can continue in this beautiful thing of worship. Oh, we love Jesus as Savior. We love Him as our rescuer. We love Him as our deliverer. But do we know Him, experience Him, and live like He is Lord? We love Him in the good times, but we wonder where He is in the bad times. Well, that's just a growth step. That's just a maturity step. It's coming to an understanding that God is good, and He is always good. And we just have to grow and be patient and endure and continue on by His grace through all these things that come in our lives. Psalm 73, verse 25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but You? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So growth happens in these hard times, and maturity happens in our hard times. And our flesh, our heart, our emotions, our resilience, our ability to stand, we might fail, but God is the strength of that heart of yours. He is your portion forever. So, living submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ is the fundamental step of becoming a true worshiper of God. So how do we apply this? And I'm going to ask the team to come up and get ready. Here's some practical steps for you, things that you can practice right now in these next few moments. When you come to a time of worship, whether it's in your own private space at home or in a gathering of believers such as this, begin with this confession. Jesus, You are the Lord of my life. Jesus, You are the Lord of my life. Jesus, I submit my heart to You. You are the master of my heart. All authority is Yours, and You have authority over me. I don't claim my life as my own, and that's another topic. But we confess, Jesus, You are Lord. That's a good starting place, isn't it? That's a good way to enter into worship. Sometimes we talk about entering with thanksgiving in our heart, doing, clapping our hands, joy. That's another topic, another time. It begins fundamentally with, where am I placed? Where am I in my relationship to Jesus? Jesus, you are my Lord. Let's begin with that. And then the next thing, whether you do this physically or emotionally, is take on the proskuneo posture of a worshiper. In your mind or physically, bow down, kneel, do whatever it helps to submit yourself to Him, to see yourself at His feet, to see yourself bowed down as a worshiper, someone that loves Him. Jesus was at the home of Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7, and He said this to Simon, "You did not welcome me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I came. You provided no olive oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins have been forgiven, but whoever has been forgiven little shows only a little love." Christian, where is your heart of gratitude today? Have you been forgiven a little, or have you been forgiven a lot? How much love can flow from your heart? Can you take that posture, that proskuneo posture at Jesus' feet? Kiss the King. Wash His feet with your tears. Be tender and soft in your heart towards Him. There's nothing here that you need to prove, and this is not a place to perform. This is just where you come and bow at His feet in love and adoration. Give Him your heart. Give Him all your heart. And let a wellspring of love, redig that well. Let a wellspring of love just spring up in your heart for Him. We want to love Jesus together. We want to say, "Jesus, You are our Lord. You're the one who's in charge of me." And I'm going to pray, and in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. But would you bow your head? And I'm going to take off my glasses so I can actually see out there. Bow your head. If this message has resonated in your heart today, and you would say with me, "I'm coming back to that place of worship. I'm coming, I'm renewing my place and my posture before the Lord. I want to redig a well in my life of genuine worship. And I want to confess today, Jesus is my Lord." Would you just lift your hand? And I just want to look around and see if we have a spirit of agreement. I see some hands going up. I see many hands going up. We're in agreement about this, church, aren't we? Let me just pray as we keep our eyes closed, and then we'll stand and sing. Father, we say together that we are a people who follow after You, our God. Lord, we are a people that are worshipers, and we decide and declare that we are ones who will worship You in spirit and in truth. We decide today that Jesus, You are the Lord of our lives, and we begin there with nothing else but that, but saying we belong to You, and the full measure of our heart belongs to You. We give You our heart. We give You our love. We give You 100% as we understand it right now, and we pray that You'll take us on that journey of surrender and submission, that more and more we'll know what it means to be followers of Jesus, to belong to Him, and to call Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless each and every one in this moment of dedication. And I pray, Lord, that You would fill us afresh with Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You would just break off of us those chains that bind us, old mindsets, painful memories, things of the past, things that hold us back and hold us down. And Lord, we pray that You would just release us now into a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit and the freedom that You have called us to. We thank You. We acknowledge You. We love You. We adore You. We give You our best in this moment. Amen.